I see a lot of growth. Do you feel a lot of growth? I know that's a leading question. Feel free to say otherwise.
We've like all grown together too.
Definitely.
We're one big happy scientific family.
Yeah. And I think we've definitely grown like intellectually. Like the program is. It, like, builds on itself. Like, we constantly hear from them. You remember this from last year, and we did this last year, and we just keep growing on what we keep learning.
Great bunch of teachers.
Hello, y'all. This is Scott Merrick from the Vanderbilt University Center for Science Outreach, and I want to thank you for downloading this episode of Snacks for the Brain. We're truly grateful for your interest in what we're doing to bring the joy of research and discovery to K-12 students and teachers the whole world over. Bi-weekly or so, we'll share some fun, independent, pod-safe music. We'll interview some working research scientists, students, or leading proponents of educational change, and we'll toss in an educational sound-seeing tour or computer tip.
For you, we'll be right here.
At blogs.vanderbilt.edu/S4TheB and at the CSO website at scienceoutreach.org, sharing good brain munchies with you. So listen up. Let's get right down to it with episode number
83
of Snacks for the Brain. Hi, y'all. This past Wednesday, May the 13th, I went over from my work at University School of Nashville to the School for Science and Math at Vanderbilt to watch a presentation from one of the groups of three, there were six groups, of the School for Science and Math sophomores. This was the culminating session from self-directed, teacher-guided, out-in-the-field research projects, and as you'll hear when Isaiah details what was at stake as a result of the effectiveness of their presentations, they were all very much into making things clear and accessible. I watched a fun 20-minute presentation from one group, and I was relieved to see that the students were being videotaped. Perhaps we can share some more of these projects in future Snacks for the Brain. I asked Dr. Chris Van Eggs if I could interview one of the groups, and he graciously sent Ashley, Cindy, and Isaiah my way. We moved over into the snack room and chatted for about 10 minutes. These are the 10 minutes I want to share with you on today's Snacks for the Brain. I think you'll agree that these 16-year-olds are well on their way to lifelong learning in science, and I would say from talking with them that their self-confidence and grasp of the important concepts is exceptional. It speaks to the quality of the program of the school, which brings 25 high school students at each grade level to the Vanderbilt University Medical Center for hands-on research and learning one day a week, the entire academic year. I want to reiterate what I've mentioned here before. The rest of their public schooling does not go away, get excused, or do itself. These kids work hard, and they work all year long, and they will deserve the diploma notation they receive when they graduate from their respective high schools upon completion of their senior year. Before we get started, let's hear some summer-themed music, this time beautifully produced indie alternative rock from a project called Super Creep, the brainchild of New Jersey rocker Jody Deli Santi. Fresh from the Podcast Music Network at music.podshow.com. Go visit their MySpace site. There's a link on the blog, and buy some Super Creep. After the interview, please allow me to introduce the Dutch bands Zamaro, who've been together 13 years, purportedly, without a change in band members. And how come this is the first time I've heard of them? I swear if I didn't podcast, my music education would definitely suffer. They will rock us out of here with a pounding Hello Summertime rendition of their Off We Go. That one's for my son Colin. So,
without further ado,
let's listen to Super Creep playing Soft Summer Breakdown. Is this going to be a slow song?
I'm so glad that I
basically, we're here just to talk about the end of your project that you guys did. And I missed your presentation, but I have your video on here, and I can take some stills out of that maybe and put on the blog for the podcast. And so, what did you do?
Well, we started out with doing a study to see how, like, because there's a problem with squirrels, and we know on campus that they hide in trash cans and jump out and attack people on a daily basis. But we wanted to see if that, like, how well their behavior is impacted as far as that goes in order to, like, when they see trash cans, do they automatically know that it's a trash can or do they see it as a food source? So we're wondering if we disguise trash cans in public parks, would they react to that? Would they take it to see... They would still believe it was a trash can. They know it to go there for food. So if we made trash cans look different, then what would happen? But see, we didn't see any squirrels, so that project didn't get very far. So then we changed to geese, and we studied habitat suitability in urban parks. So we went to Shelby Bottoms and Centennial, and both at Shelby Bottoms there's a Sevier Lake, which is from creek runoff into the river. And then at Centennial, there's a man-made lake called Lake Watauga, and it's pumped in, the water there is pumped in from the city. And we basically did water quality testing, testing for nitrates and phosphates and dissolved oxygen. And then Ashley and Cindy did testing with the multiprobe, which measures pH, electroconductivity, turbidity, and temperature of the water. And we basically compiled all of our information into a GIS map, and basically showed any kind of trends we saw, because we took data points at intervals of 30 feet in between, mm-hmm. so we could get a general area of the outline of the lake. And in our GIS map, we showed that the further you get, we showed the correlation between pH and temperature by showing that the higher the temperature gets, the pH rise goes along with that. So actually, pH lower if considered to be acidic. So yeah, that's pretty much what we did. And then we also incorporated density into our project by measuring the amount of geese that were there compared to the amount of people that were there. And we were trying to measure and see how well, like, the correlation between the amount of people and amount of geese, if they have any effect at all on the amount of people that would be there. And pretty much no.
So over what period of time, I guess all this is on the video or whatever, how long did you, how many samples did you take, how many days?
A
single visit?
No. We did Centennial Park over the course of 3 days, mm-hmm. and we did Sevier Lake in one day. Right. And we did the same thing every day. Like I said, I would take samples at certain locations. Like I would go in the middle of the lake, the end of the lake, and the beginning of the lake, and take a complete water sample to do nitrates, phosphates, dissolved oxygen testing on. And we would correlate that to what they found with the multiprobe as far as pH, electroconductivity, turbidity, and and temperature.
So basically no correlation between...
No correlation between density. Strong correlation between phosphate content and dissolved oxygen content and temperature and pH.
Very interesting stuff. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So what can you tell me about the project? Anything?
I'm Ashley.
The three of you, by the way.
I'm Ashley Artavia.
Ashley?
Isaiah Baldwin.
Cindy Ma.
And Cindy, okay.
We found that there's a high level of phosphate, which is bad because, it was caused by the goose droppings. And high levels of phosphate were causing the algal blooms and coliform, which is E. coli, and so that was bad. And
I should note for our listeners that there are no notes handy, by the way.
Yeah. We have to memorize. And there were low levels of nitrates, which is good because high levels of nitrates cause acidity in the stomach, which can cause blue baby syndrome and problems with the blood, obtaining oxygen.
Oh,
wow. So, yeah. So,
interesting.
And we concluded that both are definitely unhealthy to drink, but if you had to choose one, then Centennial was safer than Shelby.
Well, that's kind of counterintuitive, isn't it?
Yeah.
I guess. I mean, when you think that's... But for the listeners who don't know where Centennial Park is, it's sort of right off the edge of downtown Nashville at the Parthenon, which is a hugely traveled, hugely visited tourist attraction here in Nashville. So which side had the most geese?
Shelby.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that I guess that's a seasonal thing, or do they live there year round?
Well, migratory.
They're on a migratory pattern. That's like we were trying to figure out any problems we had in our data, and the fact that we used migratory waterfowl to begin with kind of like subjects our experiment to some bias, because I mean the fact that the geese travel, the phosphate levels travel with the geese depending on where they like to concentrate. So that's what we're trying to do. Like for our summer project, we're hoping to note toxicity in the water to see, like, we noted that we found out that geese really influence their environment more than the environment influences them. That's what the whole project was about. How do geese, like, how does the habitat suitability of geese differ in urban environments? It doesn't really, because they're on a migratory pattern. So other aquatic organisms live in the water, though, and we found out that based on the fact that geese droppings can have a lot of phosphate content, which can lead to a coliform, which is E. coli, and among other things, we noted that we should survey each lake for all of the other aquatic organisms and then compile that into a database to see.
I was going to ask if you did any macroinvertebrates.
Mm-hmm. So. That's what we're going to do next. That's what we hope to do next.
Kick staining in the lake. Cool. So now tell me about the summer project. So what's happening in the summer?
Okay. We had to write summer, every team that presented, they had to write summer proposals as to see, like, what their project yielded, what their semester project yielded, and what that means as far as what they want to do next. And the top four projects that yielded good data will be funded to go along for into the summer.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
So you guys get paid for this?
No.
Well, when they say funded, use the term funded loosely. Yeah.
Yeah. And we'll also, the teams will be combined together, so we'll be a bigger team.
We'll be a larger team.
So be able to do more. Yeah,
exactly.
In like one day.
So so everybody's going to do work on the summer projects, but the four quote unquote funded projects will get other team members from sort of the non. Chosen
yes.
ones, right?
Right, and they're combined to get that.
So what do you guys think about the school? I mean, is it? I have to say that I was here last year for pretty much all year and haven't been around at all this year because I've been on other projects, but I see from what I just saw in that room, you know, a sense of self-confidence. It's kind of staggering. Yeah. I mean, you were all pretty cocky last year, but... I see a lot of growth. Do you feel a lot of growth? I know that's a leading question. Feel free to say otherwise.
We've like all grown together too.
Definitely.
We're one big happy scientific family.
Yeah, and I think we've definitely grown like intellectually. Like the program, it builds on itself. Like we constantly hear from them. You remember this from last year, and we did this last year, and we just keep growing on what we keep learning.
Great bunch of teachers.
Mm-hmm.
And they're really diverse, too. That's a good part.
Yeah, they come from all different areas of science. Mm-hmm. So it's not like we're focusing on one single topic.
And they're not hearing the same opinion or thing over and over again.
Do they argue sometimes?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Creamer and Bonnig's off, man.
Especially the foreign ones.
aside from the projects, what about? Can you reflect on the school year at all? About was there something that particularly struck you that will stick with you? About something that went on during the school year?
I mean, the fact that we're just able to choose, like, this semester, we're pretty much, like...
We're, like, independent.
We're independent.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we get to do whatever.
That's pretty new. Freshman year is pretty structured.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we don't have as much guidance.
And this year is structured, but you structure it more yourself, is what you're saying. Right. Okay, gotta go. All right. Well, thank you guys.
Thank you.
Give me something to work on Monday.
Snacks for the Brain is brought to you by the fine folks at the Vanderbilt Center for Science Outreach, connecting working research scientists with K-12 students worldwide. Check out the website at scienceoutreach.org.
Yeah.